League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everybody knows that I've been out in these political streets running my own campaign for Stockton City Council, and I will be a city councilman soon. But all the excitement that I brought to my own campaign cannot be brought to life without having leadership in place that I can work with in order to get the job done. And everybody knows I came out a long time ago in the election saying that there was one person I thought was fit for the job, and that is somebody that I'm going to talk to today and hopefully share my audience and support to her and her campaign. Please welcome Christina Fugazi.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Who would ever thought Christina Fugazi would be on Hollywood Unlocked?
Not me.
But I think it's important that more people that follow me, and I have a lot of people in my community that have been supporting me in my quest to join the ranks of city council. You've already been elected and have had a long standing history in the community as a person with civic engagement and education. So tell everybody just your experience getting to where you are today, running for mayor, both civically and as an educator.
It actually goes back to the 1800s, believe it or not, the mid to late 1800s, because that's when my family came to Stockton. And my great-great-grandfather helped with the Deepwater Channel just a few blocks from here. So I kind of feel like it's my legacy to be on this path, but with my experience as a teacher, my experience with local government, I think paired with my political skill and understanding, I think I'm the best person for the job.
Well, I know you're the best person for the job. You know, people don't really realize how this political process works. I keep trying to tell them because they think I've already won. Some may think you already won. Somebody said that this is like the playoffs. I mean, this is like the NBA finals, right? You got to go through the playoffs and then you got to get to the final, you know, the final game. And now we're in that final stretch. And but we beat everybody else to get here. The person you're running against, my understanding, was a Republican, or he ran for Republican Congress, or what did he run for?
Yeah, he ran for Congress.
Okay, as a Republican.
Yes.
And lost.
Yes.
So now he's trying to win this seat that we know that you're going to get. But let's talk about that, because I think what people don't understand, unlike some of the other cities that I've lived in, like Los Angeles or Miami, where there are strong mayor cities where you elect the mayor and the mayor pretty much is the president of your town. That is not the way Stockton government works.
No.
Okay. So explain for the people that don't understand it, because you were vice mayor working with another mayor and city council. How does it work here in Stockton, unlike other cities like LA?
Well, we're a charter city, first and foremost. And that charter is our constitution. So we have a constitution in the United States of America, but we also have one here in Stockton, and we have to follow and abide by what has been put forth on in that constitution. With our style of government, though, we have a council who appoints a city manager who does the day-to-day operations, kind of like the CEO. Then we have our city attorney, we have our city clerk, and we have a city auditor. Those people are appointed collectively by the council, and they serve at the pleasure of the council. But here's where the rubber meets the road. It's important that your council understands government and leading in order to give them their marching orders, like what they should be working on. That's our task once you're elected, mm-hmm. because we represent the people. We're the people's voice, and we need to make sure that our employees, such as the city manager, know what they need to be doing in order to make this city better for the people who live here.
So you know, both of us having lots of history in Stockton and our roots being deeply planted here. My family migrated here years and years ago from Mississippi. All my grandmother had all her 15 children, and their 10 children, and their 10 children. So, I mean, we both have deep roots here. When you look at the vibe in the city where people come down to City Hall and want each individual person they elected to do the job, why do they not understand that it takes four people to be aligned in order to actually make the city operate the way that they promised?
So that word alignment, you know, I look at us all being on the same page, looking at the city through a similar prism. because we're part of a system. Government is part of a system. Council is part of that, the city manager. And in order to be most efficient, we have to work together. So whether you might have a personal feeling one way or the other, ultimately, we work for the people. So if it's something that the people want, something that's good for them in this city, then we should be doing that by voting together on those items.
One of the things that made it an easy thing for me to support you and get behind you soon, and get behind you quickly, even before I won the primary, was your dedicated service as an educator. Not because she works at Stagg High School as a VP, even though that I am Stagg alumni. And then I went back to work at Stagg. You know, now in District 6, I'll have to represent your old school, E-House.
Yes.
So, but, you know, the thing I love is that you're really focused on the enrichment of lives of young people. And I think that this city, and I don't know if you would agree, has failed young people in many ways. What do you think?
No, I agree. And that's why I came to Stockton Unified specifically. I was at a charter school, living my best life there. But I said, this city will never succeed unless the children of our largest school district succeed. Because remember, their future is riding on us and our decisions, but we need to make sure that they have positive outlets, that they have mentorship, that they are able to really look at, you know, potential careers or things that they could be doing outside what they currently are living in, that they create their destiny. They are the ones in charge, not their circumstances, of saying who they are. So when I've always taught Stockton students, and I've seen the struggles, and I've seen them get more and more difficult. The obstacles in their way have just been amplified. And we have kids who, like for today, for example, he really wants to play football. This young man really wants to play football, but he doesn't have cleats, and his family isn't able to purchase him cleats. So I bought him some cleats because that's going to keep him out of trouble. That's going to provide him with structure. That's going to have somebody there who is supervising him, who's hopefully breathing life and love into him, that he has a future and that he has options out there. So it's always been near and dear to my heart to really help kids be the best and pursue whatever it is they want in life.
And you got to be creative, because kids nowadays are different than when I was a kid, when we were kids. Because when I was a kid, I was bad. You know, I was running the streets. But through the course of my life, I've realized the importance of, you know, if you can run the streets, you know, get to a point in your life where you can go back and run your city and hopefully be a good leader. Me and you had lunch one day at Midgley's, and we were just kind of talking about the future of young people. And we were sitting there, and some of you kids don't understand to keep room tone when you're in public. We were trying to have a meeting, and those kids were so, there were like 17 kids on bikes. So
and they
loud.
Had music playing.
And me and Christina look at each other, and we agreed we were going to buy these kids lunch if they would be quiet, and they did.
Yes.
And then I went to visit you at your school, and we're walking down the hall, and the kids came up, and they're like, Miss Fugazi, Jason, and they remembered. And so Right. We know that kids can turn around and can show good behavior if they have people that know that they care about them.
Absolutely, and I see it every day. I'm blessed to be able to be in this position where, you know, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of support goes a long way. And that kind of falls in line with your story when you met Queen Latifah, correct? Mm-hmm. And she, you know, kind of took you under her wing. Well, we need mentors in our community, because a lot of these kids are coming from single family households, or their parents are working 2 and 3 jobs, so they're not home. So we all, many hands make for light work, so we all need to be involved in their success, because if we're not, then we have to answer for their failures.
What I also respect about you is that you don't overly promote how much you're down for the kids. So like, I'm gonna throw her under the bus, because you know I like to spill the tea, and that's transparency. Today I said, are you going to the city council meeting tomorrow? And she says, no, I gotta go be with the kids tomorrow for open house. Like, you can't abandon your responsibilities. You can leave the kids there to be by themselves and go down in politic, but you always choose to put your work for the young people first. And that's another thing that I think is a reason why I support you so much, because what I have found, and I want to kind of get into the city's relationship with the school districts, because I do feel like sometimes people go, not my responsibility, don't have time, that's the school district's responsibility. And I feel as a person running for District 6, and I know your answer because I know the type of person you are, those kids that are in our homes, in our districts, or in our city, when they go to school, they're still our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your thoughts on how, when you become mayor, we can work better with the school district to provide better services and support to the kids?
Well, I want to be able to offer them a joint use so they can use our community centers. Because everything, it's always nickel and dime, nickel and dime. And if we really are putting our kids first, there's not a cost you can put on that. I look at these kids and what they've told me is, you know, Ms. Fugazi, could you help me get a job? And I say, okay, I can help you get a job, but you got to work on those soft skills. You got to be responsible. You got to be respectful. You got to be accountable. People have to be able to trust you. And you got to be kind. Those things, many of them haven't learned. And once they learn them, they can do those things. They can have those jobs. But I said, to put your neck out on the line, it takes a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And with the school district, some people are like, stay in your lane. You know, that's the school board. They're the ones that handle that. But we really need to work together if we want to have the best, you know, environment for our kids.
Well, I told you that if I win and you win, or when we both win, that I wanted to be on what's called the 3x3. I'm learning. I'm a new politician. What is the 3x3, and how does that work towards that goal?
So you get three trustees from the school board in Stockton Unified, and you have three council members or mayor. When I met with the superintendent, she also would be part of that 3x3. She actually said to me, you know, it would be nice if the mayor was part of the 3x3 because we have decisions being made. And the mayor with the bully pulpit can really push those agenda items. We can put them on the agenda and bring them before council. We have others, 2x2 in Manteca, because Manteca Unified is in Stockton. We have Lincoln Unified in Stockton. We have Lodi Unified in Stockton. We have all of these school systems in Stockton, and we need to be part of those discussions.
Well, see, I don't know the players yet in SUSD, but I will say shout out to Eric Duncan from Western Ranch and from Manteca Unified School District. He's been a great partner of integrating me into the schools there, and I know like he's doing everything that he can to make sure that there's a strengthened relationship between the district. And I know that when you become mayor, given 30 years experience in education, it's a no-brainer that you understand the value of a partnership with them.
Yes, and I've been at the front lines. So I have, like you said, I have firsthand experience and I know the struggles. So I'm looking at being part of the solution here, which is again why I went to Stockton Unified.
What are some of the challenges, given that you've worked in a high school like Edison in the heart of Southside, District 6, and now worked over at Stagg High School in Northside, what are some of the challenges you see that both sets of young people and their families face, and what are some of the distinct differences, and how do we build a bridge to help both?
When we were growing up, and I know I'm a little older than you, but we had Naughty Nicks, we had Hammer Skate, we had what, fun times in the mall,
golf with the land, the water slide.
Yeah, so we had a lot of things to do. We could go to the park, and we didn't have to worry. I mean, my parents let me ride my bike when I was like 10, you know, to somebody's house that was, you know, far away. But you look at now, parents won't let their kids out of their sight. They won't let them go to the parks because it's not safe. They can't go to the mall. You know, you worry all the time about your children and whether or not they're gonna get caught up in some mess somewhere in our city. But one thing about Southside used to have an amazing baseball program. It's non-existent now. It's just not there. And we turned out people who went to the pros mm-hmm. and played professional baseball. We need to bring back those things. We need to have more outlets for our kids. There used to be a citywide basketball league for middle school. We don't have that anymore.
Did the city support those?
Yes. Activities?
Because I can tell you right now as you're talking, I know a friend of mine right now on Facebook is watching this and he is already texting because he wants to start a little league in Southside. So that's something the city could partner with.
Yes.
Okay. If it's this simple, this is my question. Why is it not happening?
Political will. And as you were saying, the transparency, we have funds. This budget cycle, $956 million were budgeted. When I first got on council, it was $327 million.
For the whole year?
Mm-hmm.
So how did they get the other $600 million? Please don't say Measure A, because I'm not even ready for that part of the interview yet.
Well, that's part of it.
Okay.
But you have to realize that we have, you know, businesses that pay taxes. We've got properties. Property values have gone up. We have money coming in from state and federal as well. We have a lot of resources, and we leave a lot of resources on the table. We leave a lot of money on the table that we could be using to create these programs.
So my understanding, doing my research, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and spill some more tea, transparency. I know everything because of Christina Fugazi. As I was preparing for my forums and my speeches and my stuff, I had to do research. That's what you do. So my research was two things, Google.com and Christina Fugazi. Because I really feel like if you're going to be qualified to do a job, you have to go to the best source of information because you have to operate in fact, especially when this job, not the job we're doing today of interviewing you, but which is my fun job, but this other job of wanting to step into a role of leadership, although there will be some fun to it, there's a lot of responsibility because you're dealing with public safety. You're dealing with access to resource, better jobs that help put food on the table, healthy food options if you can build grocery stores, partnerships to provide kids with youth activities that actually help to enrich their whole lives. So it's a real responsibility. Why do you think this city has failed the community as of today?
It's as if we're still in bankruptcy. We look like we still have a bankrupt city, even though we're almost at $1 billion for our budget. I look around, I hit those potholes, I see those cracked sidewalks, I see the dead trees, or I see no trees. You know, how does that happen? Well, people have allowed it to happen. Government has allowed it to happen. And it's inexcusable, in my opinion.
But do you think that, because we know the city went through bankruptcy years ago, were you around for that process?
I was on council when we came out of bankruptcy.
And so coming out of the bankruptcy, which was how many years ago now?
2015.
So we're almost 10 years from when you came out of bankruptcy. City pretty much looks the same. Measure A, I'm going to just go ahead and jump to it, was a special tax. Is that the way to call it?
It's a general fund tax.
It's a general fund tax that... go ahead.
So Measure A is a general fund tax. It's a 3/4 cent tax that is for public safety. And specifically, it is for police officers primarily. So 65% of the money that comes in from that sales tax is supposed to go directly to public safety. And it hasn't.
So explain for people, and by the way, I know what it is. I'm being a little bit funny to set it up because she actually knows every single detail of it. There was Measure A and Measure B. Explain the difference between Measure A and Measure B, what you supported, what was told to the people, and what actually happened.
Measure A was to provide 120 more officers to the city from what was budgeted. So budgeted was 365 police officers. Measure A was supposed to add 120 more, putting us at 485, which actually is still less than what we really need for a city. We're not a town, a city our size. Measure B was the accountability and the transparency part. That is what said, we have a commission here that's going to look over. They were an advisory commission. And now, you know, they make requests and they go unheard. They ask for audits. They don't get their audits. It even has gone to council to have those funds audited, and it hasn't happened. And originally it was, I take that back, oversight. Mm-hmm. Oversight. Oversight is much bigger than advisory, in my opinion.
To make sure you're actually doing what you promised the people.
Yes. And I voted yes on Measure B, and I voted no on Measure A. And I want to tell you why I voted no on Measure A. Because to me, it was like giving drugs to an addict, because they didn't know how to use the money that they had. And sure enough, 10 years later, you know, from this measure, we don't have 480 officers, 85. We were actually at 344, which was the number that we had during bankruptcy. So in November of 2023, we had 344 officers.
So just so people that are watching who are probably sick by what you're hearing, explain how much money came as a result of Measure A to the city.
So over those 10 years, we're talking over $300 million.
And there weren't 10 officers added, 20 officers added?
There were and then there weren't.
Uh-huh.
And then what really upset me and upsets the people of Stockton is they said, well, we never thought we would actually get to 485. And I said, promises made, promises kept. You can't tell the people we're going to have 485 and then be happy that we got 470. No. You said 485, then we better deliver 485 officers.
And so now, as I understand, today we're still 100 officers less than was promised. Or so.
Yeah, yes.
And so this was the other part that I think is frustrating. And help me understand, or help the people understand how this happened. So let me give you a scenario. I come to you and borrow $1,000 to pay my rent, and I go spend $800 of it at the club. That's just a general way to explain. Measure A, we give you $360 million. It goes into a general piggy bank that is used for the purposes they need to govern.
Unaudited.
Unaudited, no control, no real oversight, so no accountability.
Yes.
And then my question to the public is, would you then give me another $1,000 if I asked you for it for my rent? You'd probably say no. They re-up the bag, meaning they approved the extension of Measure A another 10 years to get another $360 million in to go back into the general piggy bank.
Pretty much. But actually, they lowered the number of officers, too. They said, yeah, we're not going to do 485. We'll be good, like, with 420. You know, we don't need to be all the way to 485, which I'm like, no.
So we know crime is a huge issue in the city. We know people are upset about it. We know people want communities that you can walk safely in, businesses that can thrive here, tourism, want people to come and spend their money here. Why are voters not outraged, or are they, about the fact that Measure A has failed the city?
I think there's a number of reasons why. One of them is apathy. People are just like, the government, they don't represent me. They don't care about me. I'm just going to go about my business. And they're going to do what they want to do because they're lying in their pockets with money, okay? The other reason is they don't understand how government works. When I was on council, I used to do Council Members Digest where I went over the entire agenda and I would say, show up, stand up, speak up. Like, be part of the process. Otherwise, you have council members up here making decisions based on what maybe their funders, when I say funders, the people who donate to their campaign, what the donors want them to do. And some of the donors like keeping Stockton down.
Mm-hmm.
They like keeping Stockton down, sadly enough.
It's interesting because when I ran, I said, I'm not accepting any local money, no local donations. And it's funny to watch how the narratives change in the city. First, I was the broke guy who needed the city's money. Then when I paid for my own campaign, I was the rich guy wanting to steal the election. Do you think that there's investment in keeping voters distracted from the needs that they have with the rumor mill, the gossip, or the investment other special interest groups are putting in the decisions made in the city?
So people want to control the narrative, and they feel if they can control the narrative, then they can control the person. And if they can control the person, then they control government. They don't want to run for office. They want to be the puppet masters, mm-hmm. and they want to be in charge of the people sitting in those seats because then their hands are clean.
Mm.
It's somebody else that's getting the mud on them.
So as it relates to crime, let's be very clear right now. What are your thoughts as mayor when you get elected? What is your first 180-day plan on addressing the issues that are important to people?
So for the first 180 days, we need to build trust. We need to make sure that the public knows that they have people that are representing them, that are actually working for them. Not working for themselves or special interests, but actually working for the people. We know some of the things that we can do to make this city safer, to help with the unsheltered. Again, going back to money on the table, we have put money into projects that still have not been completed, such as the Navigation Center that should have been completed when I was on council, and it was supposed to be done in 4 months. Now we're 2 years later, 3 years later, and it's still not done. So in that first 180 days, it is looking at, you know, what are our inefficiencies and flipping the script on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, the people deserve better. Mm-hmm. And we can do better.
And if they have a concern, can we give them more than 2 minutes to come down and say it at City Council?
I'm not doing that. Listen, we're doing the people's work. City Hall is the people's house. Mm-hmm. We're there doing their work. So there used to be 5 minutes. When I was on planning commission, it was 5 minutes. When I first got on council, it was 5 minutes. Then it went down to three. Then it went down to two. And actually, there have been meetings where it's been 1 minute.
Let me tell you how bad she want to let y'all come down and tell us your problems. I'm on the phone with Christina one day, and she goes, I think we should do city council twice a week. I said, Christina, you better slow down. But that's how hard, I mean, you want to get to tackling these issues, because there are so, there's so many issues in Stockton right now. But what I love is every conversation we have, we see a pathway to the solution. I think you would agree, part of that is cutting this bureaucracy of getting business done, right? One thing I love about our conversations that we talk about District 6, in particular, where I'm running for Southside, and before I even say anything, you said, there's been a lack of investment in District 6 and that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And one thing you said was there was $41 million over budgeted this year, and you would have started working on the infrastructure in the South Side, potholes, the sidewalks. What made you focus on District 6? Like, what made that come to your mind right away?
Well, some of my family live in District 6, so I drive through it. I worked in District 6. Even when I was at the charter school, I drove through District 6 because I was taking my nephews home. And so I hit those potholes. I saw the homeless overtaking McKinley Park. We went to the pool. The pool was open at one point, and now it's been shuttered for way too long. I actually played soccer out there at McKinley. But South Stockton has been lacking, like you said, for way too long. When there was a project that came before council, I said it was supposed to start in North Stockton. I said, no, those that are first shall be last, and those that are last shall be first. We're going to start the project in South Stockton. Unfortunately, I was off council, and they still are starting it out north after I said it needs to start out south. But people weren't fighting for it. I will fight for that.
So as we're right there in the theme of South Stockton, one promise that I keep making to people is that I will aggressively pursue getting a substation for the police department in Western Ranch and Southeast Stockton, where there's just no real visibility. Would you support that?
Absolutely. And I brought that up before because we have vacant storefronts. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't want a police substation in their strip mall? Mm-hmm. That it's a place where the community goes, where they can file reports, where they can ask for help, where they can have timely response. Response times in Stockton are so bad because we don't have enough officers. And when you are in a fight or flight situation and you're waiting on police to show up, it seems like forever. And if you have a low-level crime, you're lucky if anybody comes out. They'll tell you to file a report online, mm-hmm. and it's like, they stole my computer. How am I supposed to file it online? But if we had substations, they could go to the substation and ask for help with that.
And what I love about that is that we know where the need is. We know that we have to find the resources. But one challenge that I've seen is that in the city, the budgeting process, I run a multi-million dollar business, and I have a CFO, CRO, accountant, tax attorneys, tax accounts, I got all that. And when we go through our budget, we go line by line, penny by penny. I know where every penny of my business is. This city has a $1 billion business. And I sat through the budget meeting and it was like 4 hours. How do you go through a $1 billion multi-department budget in 4 to 6 hours and be accountable to your promises that you made to the community?
Well, you can't. And people will say, oh, you know, you need to understand municipal finance. No, you don't. Dollars and cents is dollars and cents. We used to have 2 full days and schedule for 3 for budget hearings. To do it in one night in 4 hours, nobody's asking any questions. They're not asking where the money's going and why isn't it going here or there. They just are being spoon-fed and told, well, this is the budget and this is what we want you to do, and then they rubber stamp it. Mm-hmm. Without considering the public and what they want.
So wouldn't the budget, because I know one of your issues is double taxation on nonprofits, and I know we even talked about the parks charging nonprofits or charging people to keep the lights on for kids to play or do sports in the park, which is crazy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you just brought up Stribley Park. So that was part of my district. I made sure that they got a bathroom out in Stribley Park because they didn't have one. They have all kinds of sports activities, and the kids were going in the bushes to go to the bathroom. They didn't have lights out there. Parents were pointing their cars with their headlights on to the park so kids could continue to practice football. And It is so expensive. They were charging them for the lights. How are you going to charge a youth football program and cheerleading program when you have a few hundred kids out there that are doing positive things? They're getting physically fit. They're being mentored. They're learning how to work as a team. You know, and then you're charging that organization when they barely have enough to get by as it is.
And so how do we work at providing some type of relief so that way they're not only able to do it, but encouraged to do more?
Well, I think that we should not be charging nonprofits to use our facilities, because guess what? They've already paid for it. The people that live in this city are already paying the taxes that are supposed to maintain that. Now, if something was damaged, okay, that's another story. But we want kids. We want people in our parks. We don't want people living in our parks, but we want people definitely utilizing our parks, because that's where you see your money. That's your money being spent that you can feel, see, touch. It's right there in front of you.
Well, speaking of see, feel, and touch, I went to an event down at Weber's Point, which is so beautiful. But I see, touch, heat, because there's no cover.
No canopy.
How does it take 4 years to get a cover, to cover that beautiful area for people to commune for musical events and stuff like that?
Well, if I actually called the vendor, they might give me a different reason or excuse than staff will, because staff will give you an answer and people just take it for what it is. Like, oh, okay, they shouldn't have taken that canopy down till the new one was there. And there was a tear in it, yes, there was, and people said, oh, it could fall down, whatnot. Do you know how many people get heat stroke out there? I mean, that's why they have to have ambulance or AMR out there, medical services, because it is blistering hot. I mean, this is California, we're in the dry heat, and you know, we need shade, we need more shade.
All right, so I was watching on the news recently, Miracle Mile. So Miracle Mile, I grew up in my early years on Parkin Sutter. My mother, before she became addicted to drugs, we would go to the Miracle Mile all the time. We would go to the Royal Theater, we would go to Baskin Robbins, and the Miracle Mile always had this life to it. And I went out there recently, and I was looking on the news recently, and there were some folks who had an event scheduled, and it got canceled because of bureaucracy at City Hall. There was paperwork, fees, all this stuff. There was nobody proactively saying, let me help you make sure that this happens. Can we fix that?
Yes. And I will tell you, Miracle Mile, that should be booming. It should be having people walking it all the time. I walk my dog on the Miracle Mile. But if you go 15 miles up the road to Little Lodi, that has, I don't know, they have 80,000 people, 90,000, they close off a strip of their downtown, and they have farmers market, they have their stores open, people are eating, you know, they've got Lodi Beer Company, they're having
beer. They should be able to have weekend music out there playing, you know?
Right, and in Stockton, it costs $10,000 to close off the street.
But in a community where you're not creating new opportunities for people to make that $10,000, you're pretty much squeezing the life out of businesses to try to do that.
Exactly.
Right, but we can change that.
We can, 4 votes.
You all know I've said 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just leaving it that I know how to count. But I think being able to partner with businesses in the Miracle Mile or in other communities to actually ensure that they're thriving and having opportunities for families to come out and support.
Yes, and I would say, you know, we'd have to do some test runs out there, see how it goes. I think that council members should be able to have access to our parks and our rec centers. Did you know council members get charged to use parks and rec centers?
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
That's a question to ask the city management, I would say. But when it used to be that they could have, I think it was 7 or 8 events that they wouldn't get charged. You could use the Civic, you could use Weber Point. In order to do community events, like you said, building community trust, we got to bring the community together.
So let me ask a question, because I don't know the answer. So could we change that?
Yes.
With 4 votes?
Yes.
Well, I would vote to change that. Now, that means I could partner with an organization or partner with a community. I can build a partnership with my district or whatever to actually do it. So if it's that simple, why is the will of the community not the priority?
I don't think it's on council's radar, to be quite frank, I don't think that they know about it, because the reason I know about it is because I got people in my ear saying, $10,000, $10,000, that's crazy, that's insane. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the other council members are hearing it. But we know it, and we can do something about it when we're on council.
What about the, I've also heard that the permitting process and the getting business licenses in this city is just so cumbersome that people are not even motivated to do it, or it's not happening for them. How do we fix that?
It isn't. And I will tell you on that one that we look at the efficiencies, going back to the efficiencies and making sure that we have a well-run city. You know, customer service is huge, but you have people that, you know, you get so many emails, it's hard to get back to your emails. You have junior planners that, you know, don't know the Stockton Municipal Code. It is just a different time where it should take 2 weeks, and it is taking 8 to 12 months, which some people can't afford to do that. They just simply don't have enough money in order to get their business up and off the ground, because now I gotta do my sprinkler system. You know, and they keep moving the goal line. You know what I mean by moving the goal line?
Yeah,
so they tell you, oh, you just need to do A, B, and C. And you do A, B, and C. And then another planner goes, oh, no, you need to do D, F, and G. And it's like, I just did A, B, and C, and I was told it would be good. Nope. So it's hoop after hoop after hoop.
But if the public entrusts us to lead the city, and the city's management is not efficient enough to work through that yellow tape, how do we hold the city accountable to actually delivering for the community? Because it's almost like the community is on this hamster wheel trying to find an answer when it's clear cut. I need to get a business license so I can operate. I need to get a permit. If the policy says it will take 3 weeks or 4 weeks, how can it go 4 to 6 months and there not be accountability?
Yeah, it's going more than 6 months, so I'm just saying. It is, it's unfortunate. I would say there are people who have retired from this city that I've spoken to, and I said, would you come back? Would you come back and mentor or be a consultant for the city? Because when I was on Planning Commission, and even when I was on council, when we were in bankruptcy, I was on Planning Commission in bankruptcy, it ran faster than it is now, mm-hmm. at almost $1 billion budget. So we are paying more than ever, and we're getting less.
So we'll be able to fix that.
I'm planning on that. That's one of my goals. That's one of my, on my list.
So if people are watching this interview right now, 30 years in education, wants to put youth as a priority, wants to bring back business, restore services, make it easier, build a more safer community, you've addressed homelessness and the unhoused, put in accountability at City Hall, provide more time for people to talk. What about translation? Can we please get translation?
Absolutely. How can we be the most diverse city in the nation and not offer translation services?
Well, I don't know, because I've asked the question since January, because Stockton has 45% of its community Latino, and we've even had to go and get people who speak English and Spanish to just go up there and speak Spanish to get translation, which has been provided by the city council members, to make the point that we should just, as a general rule, provide an opportunity for people to be heard.
Yeah, if you go to Kaiser, Stockton Kaiser, they have everything translated there in something like 12 different languages, 10 or 12 different languages. And cities should be able to do that as well. And we also need to make sure we have closed captioning, because we have a lot of hearing impaired people in our community that need those closed captioning.
So with all the things I just listed, again, all those things that you've committed, why is it that the people here that are benefiting from the city with the deep pockets not supporting you and giving you all the money so you can win this election?
Because they can't tell me what to do. I mean, you can't be my work ethic. I'm a hard worker. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a hard worker. But if they, you know, can't pull the strings on me, then I might be a liability for them, because I'm not gonna do what they want me to do. I'm gonna do what the people need me to do. Mm-hmm.
And so is that, because I remember when I started looking online, and you know, I've been watching the Stockton Record write these stories about me, and it's wanting to know why I just paid for everything. The reason why is because if you don't, your vote is for sale. I mean, meaning your vote would be lease to somebody if they give you the money, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just not right.
No. And I will tell you, I got a check the other night for $50. I've gotten $20 checks, and I am happy. I'm so proud of those because those are from the people of the city. Ordinary, and as somebody coined that I'm the populist, ordinary and disadvantaged. I go, that's 90% of our population.
Right, right.
So yeah, I'm gonna wear that as a badge of honor that I serve all people.
So let's talk about serving the people downtown. Love downtown. I remember I used to come down here with my mother to Newberry's and Crest. Newberry's still on the corner, but not Newberry anymore. What do we do about all the vacant buildings where there's just buildings that are standing, nobody's in them, nobody's operating them? What do we do?
Well, my idea on that is we have an ordinance, number one, that says if you purchase a building, you have 12 months to pull permits. You better have a plan for it. You're not gonna just let it sit there and be derelict. That there has to be a plan for that. But this could become housing. There was a plan out there, the open window project. I don't think all of that needs to be abandoned. But if you look out the door right now, it's kind of a ghost town.
Right.
It's a ghost town out there.
Right.
And we need to be investing in our business districts throughout the city. But downtown is such a huge part of the city. It's the heart of the city. Miracle Mile's not too far away. Yosemite Village isn't too far away. That's where people are going because there is nothing down here.
What do you think about vacancy tax?
I don't have a problem with vacancy tax at all. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these owners live out of the area. And let's say somebody breaks into their building, they board it up, code enforcement puts fines on it. That's a tax deduction. Did you know that was a tax deduction?
No.
Any fines that you get from the city is a tax deduction. So they're like, hey, I can write that off.
So we should be able to mandate the use if they have the area, the land or the building, right? And then if they don't, we can tax.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so for people that don't understand the importance of their city council members and the mayor's role within the city, why should they pay close attention to the people that they're voting for?
Because they are supposed to be your voice. They are supposed to listen to you. They are supposed to work for you. They are supposed to serve you. And if you don't know who your city council member is, that's a problem because they should be very visible in their district. When there are problems in their district, they should be able to call you. They should be able to email you and you return that call or you return that email. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's like, I can let a staff member do that. They don't want to hear from a staff member. They want to hear about the person that is sitting in that seat that they may have voted for, that they elected to do that job.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you get elected, you should feel a sense of obligation.
You should.
What people don't realize is the minimum qualifications, or not minimum qualifications, but the minimum job responsibility of a city council member is to attend 2 meetings a month and make themselves available for 1 hour a month to the community.
Yes. And you have to be a registered voter.
But you also have to serve on committees at the will of the mayor. But the minimum job duties, even though there's minimum job duties, you should have a full-time commitment because it's such a responsibility.
Right, and they shouldn't miss meetings. We have council members that miss meetings. One of my, another badge of honor is I only missed one meeting because I had COVID, and I missed another meeting because I was with the homeless task force. So I was in London doing business for the rail system, and I called at 2 a.m. to be part of one of our council meetings because I didn't want my district not to have a representative up there speaking on behalf of them. So even though I was, over the pond, I was still working for my constituents.
For the community, you're saying that we should focus on who those people are that were elected in office. You were there when there was $15.63 million approved for McKinley Park, then money approved for the Navigation Center. Why do you think this council has been unable to execute on all those commitments?
We are not holding people accountable. So one of my ideas, I want to have calendars up on my walls. I want to have when these projects are supposed to be done, when the development, the design's supposed to be done, when it's supposed to go out to bid, all those things. And I want regular updates. So when you ask, let's say, the city manager, do you have any updates? And he says no, it should be like, no, let me tell you where we're at with McKinley. Let me tell you where we're at with Victory Park. Let me tell you where we're at with the Northeast Library that has become very tattered. And it's never even been opened. Mm.
But, okay, and so will we be able to reevaluate how the city is staffed in terms of departments or management or assistant management? I don't know if are we able to evaluate all that?
We're able to evaluate all of that, but we would have to bring somebody in. I would not have somebody from the inside do the evaluation. I would bring somebody from the outside in, because people are going to, again,
much more objectivity.
And they're going to create their own narrative to make sure that they look better than maybe they are. Mm-hmm. And I know we have Ask Stockton. People are so frustrated with Ask Stockton.
Well, they're asking them and ain't nobody getting back to them.
Well, and I promote it. I promote Ask Stockton, and I showed them how to do a report. I went into my district and showed people. I had Mr. and Mrs. Ask Stockton got a key to the city because they had hundreds of reports, and they used to take care of them. But now they go in and they say, you know, it's done. They've completed. But it's not completed. Mm-hmm. Cars that sitting there for 6 to 8 months with weeds growing out of the windows, mm-hmm. like really grass growing out of the windows of a car, or potholes that have been reported. People who have a popped tire and then they put in a claim with the city, or a tree that falls in the car and they put in a claim to the city, and then the city insurance, which they do to everybody, say, oh, you know, we're not paying it out. They always do that on the first one. I say, oh, file again, keep filing.
So homelessness here and housing is a huge, huge crisis. They recently, I made it a big deal online that the Gospel Rescue Mission needed some bridge funding because they were gonna close 70 beds and put 70 men on the streets. The city voted against it, did not give them the resource. The Navigation Center that's been approved funding has not opened, but yet they go online and talk about how they're fixing the issue. What is that?
Well, they actually gave $1 million, an additional $1 million to the Navigation Center, because believe it or not, it wasn't taken care of. It rained and it warped all the floors. So they have to go back in and redo it. We have a wastewater treatment plant that we have a guaranteed contract amount. I said, I love this. We should have this for all of our projects. This is what we're gonna pay. There's a small contingency in case it does go over a little bit. But for the most part, this is the price we're paying. So new city hall, 13
points. Wait, let me set that up.
Okay.
Well, given that, I mean, if they can't find the money to help address and tackle this homeless and housing crisis, how do they find the $100 million to open the new city hall?
So city hall was supposed to be $13.7 million. That's what we bought it for. Then we were told all in, it would cost $25 million. Because we looked at redoing old City Hall and they said, oh, that's gonna cost $60 million. We said, oh, that's too much money. So we bought the Marina Towers.
$13.7 million.
We actually had a meeting in there where we were doing our priority setting. And I think they did it there on purpose because then nobody could come to the meeting. We were up on a floor and we actually walked through the building. Oh, we're gonna fix this. And all in $25 million. Well, that $25 million became $50 million, became $75 million, now is maybe eclipsing $100 million.
And this is taxpayer money.
Yeah.
But here's what I don't understand, because I just shot in front of the City Hall, which is a landmark for our city. It's yes. Beautiful, right in the heart of that beautiful area downtown. If anything, if it's gonna cost $100 million to move everything to a new building, why not just spend the $60 million to upgrade what's a historic building here and save the taxpayers $40 million?
Well, that's what we thought was gonna happen in terms of the Marina Towers. We thought $25 million all in. We were being prudent. We were being responsible instead of going to the $60 million. But then costs went up, supply chain, delays. We need to be on a timeline for our projects. I'm not saying rush through and make mistakes, but I'm saying costs never go down. Do you know any costs that go down?
No. I mean, everybody watching knows what inflation, we're living in a state of inflation.
I mean, gas prices fluctuate a little, but, you know, in terms of building materials, in terms of labor costs, they're only going up. You know, healthcare going up, all these things are going up. And we need to be finishing, like I said, these projects on time. So now it's ballooned up and there's excuse after excuse after excuse, which some of them are legitimate. But if we're not holding people's feet to the fire, if we're not holding those that are responsible for the day-to-day operations of the city, then that's what we're going
to
have.
But everybody watching right now has to budget their household so they don't lose the light, so they don't lose the house, so they are able to feed their kids. How is it that city council, elected officials, the mayor, the city management, not be held accountable to the same standard of fiscal responsibility as the average person paying the tax for us to be able to lead the city?
Because nobody's paying attention. If nobody's watching, who's going to call you out on it?
Right.
Until it's maybe too late. Until it is $100 million and everybody's like, oh my God, it's $100 million.
Who's building those buildings, though?
Well, the buildings are already there, but who's redoing them?
Yes.
There's a contractor that was awarded the contract.
Okay. But are these people who contribute to campaigns? Like, I don't know, because I'm not following all the money. You can go on the city website and look up 460s and see who's paying for what.
Yeah.
But are there relationships between the people doing the work and the people who are paying for these campaigns?
On some projects, yes, there are. Contracts have been awarded. But it's kind of like a shell game where it's under this name. It's not under the individual's name. It's under this corporation's name, or it's under this other person's name. Mm-hmm. So people don't understand that. And as a result, you have people that are funding with ridiculous amounts of money.
But these are some of the bad ideas that got the city into bankruptcy in the first place. Building the arena, although it's beautiful, and bringing Neil Diamond here probably was some one person's great idea. It actually hurt the city significantly. And the city's still paying for it because they pay $5 million a year in taxes to keep it up. How do we learn, like, to undo this insanity in the city? Elect the right people?
Yes. Yes, somebody needs to be watching the store, minding the store.
Okay, well, I'm socially liberal and very fiscally conservative, so I think we could have saved the new city hall. I could have sat at this city hall and been just fine. You?
If it was done right, yes.
Okay. Combating crime and gang violence. You know, I recently did an interview with a podcast named Adam22, who is a friend, who's interviewing all of these artists from Stockton and different cities that have crime issues and gang violence, and a lot of this is happening through the music. What are your thoughts on addressing, you know, the gang violence here in Stockton? I know we have OVP. I don't know how efficient those programs are. I know we have other CBOs that are doing the work. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think we're doing enough. I don't think we're capturing kids early enough. If you go into South Stockton, there are kids that are in third grade that are already running for a gang. They're already being recruited. How are they being recruited? Well, guess what? Money is attractive, you know, or I'll buy you this, I'll buy you that. Parents who aren't able to understand what's going on. Oh, no, they're just friends. I have had parents say, my child is not in a gang. And then I see a picture and they're putting up their gang signs in there. And I'm like, your child is in a gang, but they aren't noticing it, I would say. But we need our task force back. Again, going back to our police department, we need more people involved, not less. We also need activities for our kids. We need outlets for our kids. We need mentors for our kids. We need all these things for our kids. And I have spoken to a number of, you know, the OGs that are no longer in the game. But they said, I wish somebody would have told me X, Y, or Z sooner. And I've said to them, well, will you deliver that message? Can we do that? Can we organize something like that? But I hit resistance. Mm-hmm. I get resistance. Mm. But if we don't have people who've been there speak life into these kids or these people to put down their guns, it's just going to continue.
So we know gang violence and crime is a big issue. Crime, policing of the crime falls under the city management department. I have different departments at Hollywood Unlocked. There's no manager that would get a raise, get a promotion, move around if they weren't managing to the expectation, to the budget, to, you know, to kind of what I kind of list as a priority. The city's made crime reduction and safe streets a priority, yet they're going to give the city manager, who makes $415,343, a huge raise instead of funding positions like the ones we're talking about, get out there in the community, talk to people. Does that make sense?
No.
But it's going to happen. And by the time this airs, it will have happened. Why?
Because council allows it to happen. It's you just need four votes. And if there are four votes up there on the dais that vote yes, then it's done.
What do you think about restructuring the police department and having them have a more direct line to the city council and the mayor so we can actually work in partnership with them to be efficient so that way the 65% of Measure A money that was committed to them would actually go to their department so they can do the work and have the support to be effective here?
Well, number one, I do not have a background in law enforcement. I want officers to be able to enforce the law. That's the minimum, just enforce the law. I'm not going to call them up and tell them what to do, but if there's an emergency and people are asking me for help, I need to be able to at least shoot a message to the chief, not say, I need you to do this right now, drop everything and do this, but alert, you know, the watch commander or whomever and say, hey, do we have any units that we can send out to this? Mm-hmm. But we don't get to do that.
Christina, people don't understand that if they elect me as the District 6 rep and somebody's son gets murdered at a store and I want answers for that family, can I call up the police chief and say, what are you doing and what's happening there?
You can, but he doesn't have to answer you.
Because?
Because the city manager is in charge of the police chief.
Okay. So how do we streamline direct support to our constituents who want faster responses, more accountability? How do we do that?
Well, we need more officers. In order to do that, I want a line item in the general fund under public safety, a line item that says Measure A revenue, the 65%. I've already come up with an idea of a way to attract some of the officers we've lost that have that institutional knowledge and experience to get them to come back. I've spoken to experts in the field as to what we could be doing. Our salaries aren't where they should be, but there's also respect. You know, it's very hard to do a job. We're losing, like, I'm an educator. We're losing a lot of teachers because of the conditions that they work in. But if we were able to build trust, put trust back into our community, have police officers get out of their cars and be able to form relationships with the people in their area, which is why I support community policing, so that you know that neighborhood, you know the people there. When they see you, they're not like, oh no, but that you have a relationship and you have mutual respect for one another. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have the opportunity to do that, then we're not gonna build that trust back into our community and we're gonna continue to perpetuate the problems that we have right now.
And if we don't have the four votes in order to be able to do it, in order to be able to deliver on the promises, in order to deliver on the commitments that each of us are making, everybody out there running with these signs and these mailers and these door hangers, and trust me, I got them all too, you got them, and they're very beautifully created. They're either created with a fact that has to be supported by four votes in order for us to deliver on that, or they're just empty promises on paper. And that's why I think it's important that you get out there, not only educate yourself on who's running, do your research, look at their background. And this idea that you have to have political experience, I can say this, I may not have ever served in a position, but I've ran businesses. You've served in a position and have been an educator. You've had experience as a resident, as an elected official, as an educator, an employee, you've had all these different experiences that gives you the wealth of knowledge. I mean, she's like an encyclopedia for finding everything. But I feel like there's people that may not have had all the experience, but have also not had votes paid for, have not been funded by special interests, and who has the heart and the focus to work in partnership with people that have all the experience. How important is it that people elect you as the next mayor so that way we can deliver on all the things that we've said tonight we want to and that they're sitting at home saying, I can't wait?
Well, I want to go back to what you were saying about do your research. There's a lot of incorrect information out there. So you really want to look at maybe how people vote in the council meetings to understand more about who they are or what are they fighting for, what have their constituents said, the people that work with them. You know, how is it that they look at an individual? I will tell you, for me, I can make few promises. I'm gonna work for you. I'm gonna do my homework. I'm gonna have you hold me accountable. Okay, I'm gonna be transparent. and I'm going to be responsible in making sure that your money is spent in the way that you want it to be spent. Because again, it's your money. And I've always worked for the people. I've done it as a teacher. I've done it as elected official. And there ain't no change in that.
Mm-hmm. And so, I'll say this. I have a company called Hollywood Unlocked. We're on Hollywood Unlocked now. And I would like to unlock Hollywood and bring entertainment and events and business to the city. Is that something that you would support? Oh,
yes. Can't okay. wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Because I ain't going to lie. Sometimes it gets a little boring around here.
Well. Yeah.
We can change that.
We can change that.
Make sure that you support changing that on, and also everything else that we listed in this conversation that is needed, because this is a critical time for Stockton to get it right. And we're all making huge sacrifices because we believe that you are going to make the right decision in order for us to be able to deliver on those promises. And I look forward to serving at the leadership of Christina Fugazi when you vote for her. And you should. Right?
I believe so.
Vote Christina Fugazi for mayor. And just throw Jason Lee in there for city council if you're in District 6. Until then, election day is November 5th, but you can get them ballots. The ballots come out October 1st, so you're going to get the ballots. What should they do with the ballots? Fill them out immediately and go drop them off, hand them to us? What do they do?
Well, there'll be Dropbox around, but there's free postage on them. You don't have to do anything but drop them in the mailbox, and they will get to the registrar. But make sure you sign the back, because your signature has to match what they have on file.
Election day, November 5th. Get it right. Christina Fugazi. Peace.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale is almost here. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping site-wide. Shop the sale at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.